Okay, awesome. Welcome back. Welcome, God Over Ashes podcast, Bryn Croto. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. The Bible! Greatest book ever. Okay, this is going to be from 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 22, chapter 2, verse 22. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time. Father, forgive us. We come to you dirtied, and we thank you that through your Son Jesus, you see none of that, that in him we are clean, that he has stood trial in our place, and we humbly receive the gifts, the blessings that we are actually entitled to by his sacrifice, when we come under his authority, when we submit willingly ourselves to you, God. Holy Spirit, come be in this place, surround us, protect us. May your word go forth, God. Open up the ears, the eyes, the hearts, the minds, the souls, the physical body to receive healing. That your word be the bread that feeds us, and that we would know more who you are and what you have for us, what you are calling us to do, and that we would know you, that we would know your voice, and that we would hear you, that we would truly hear you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, starting up there, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Referring to Jesus. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Just going to be moving through pieces here where pieces of scripture that have kind of popped out lately. Chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. That was 2 Peter 3, 18 through 22. 2 Peter 3, 18 through 22 is what I just read. Moving forward into chapter 4, living for God. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. It just occurred to me that not even death gets you out of judgment. It might not be good news for some of us. Chapter 4, verse 6. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled that you can pray. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as if one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That is 1 Peter 4, 1-14. Oh, living for God. That's a good little chunk right there. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. For you have spent enough time in the past. You've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing in detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Do you ever just want to get rid of something? Do you ever not want something to be a part of your life anymore that has been a part of your life for such a long time? Maybe it's more than one thing. Maybe it's a thought pattern. Maybe it's words that keep coming through your brain day in and day out, or certain situations where you keep having the same reaction and you want to have a mature, thoughtful response. You want to move forward. You actually want to grow. You actually want to be different. I know I have been feeling that way. It's been a great and extremely uncomfortable challenge to do the things that I am doing now. And I am frustrated. And I am somewhat sad and grieving that things aren't better, that things aren't more different than what I had hoped they would be by now. And I'm finding myself coming to a place just with myself to surrender more again. More and again and again and more fully and more completely, and looking around for what else do I need to surrender. Clean me out. Get rid of me. Get less of me and more of God, more of the Holy Spirit. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to know more about you, Jesus. The me part of me that I try and focus and force to build up, it's not working. Ultimately, it doesn't work for any of us in our own strength. And so we thank you, God, that you call us further into an endless journey of getting to know you better, that there is no completion to what you have for us, for what you desire to grow in us. Let us be part of your living word that goes forth in this world to truly walk in what you want us to walk into, the way that you want us to do it, with a closeness and an intimacy of knowing the voice of your Spirit, Father. May it be characterized by just an abandoned forgiveness that we so freely just give up the things about ourselves and about each other that we find so distasteful and that we're so ready to criticize. That we could move freely into loving you, loving each other, and worshiping without worry of what others think, without worrying of how we might look or feel, but knowing that we can trust you, that your Spirit manifests in praise and worship and in our speech and how we talk to one another and how we treat one another. Coming back to scripture, 1 Peter 5, to elders and young men, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Those who are older, be worthy. Be worthy of it. That's me saying that. That's not in here. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because, quote, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, end quote. That's from Proverbs 3:34. Peter is referring back to Proverbs. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. I'm going to read that a couple of times. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Cast it all of your anxieties, all of those things which stir up the angst in you. Give it over to him because he cares for you. He wants to take it. Let go of it. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Do you ever feel like you get into situations where you can feel yourself going to react in the same way, and you don't want to react that way, and these situations keep coming up, let it be an opportunity to find yourself well controlled and alert, prepared for the enemy, the devil, who prowls like this roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's there. He's out there watching, looking, waiting, hunting. So you know this. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. So I just want to pray, Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the ability to be quiet with you. Thank you for the ability to approach you, that you made a way, that you have called us, that it is not by our own strength or ideas that we get through day by day. Thank you for your conviction that you love us enough to speak the truth to us. Help us to never be afraid of what we might hear from you. We come against any interference from the enemy. We thank you that your Spirit helps us discern, God. May we stand for you, Lord. May we love others the way that you have loved us. May we see in each other and allow others to see in us your light, your life, the one true Jesus, the only way to God the Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We seal this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.